Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events, such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. This is Season 2, Episode 17, Christina and Nicole. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Ballow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Ballow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Afterglow. This is Season 2, Episode 17. We're going to dive into some more of what was going on behind the scenes that later unfolded, but keeping this in chronological order, how it was happening in real life. The detectives in Arizona decided to make a visit on April 15th, 2020, to two of Lori's friends, Christina and Nicole. So today's episode, I have the body cam audio of that. And it's pretty interesting. Remember, these ladies were part of the circle with Melanie Gibbs, Zalema, Melanie P., Lori, and these ladies. Okay, they were part of that circle, involved in this casting out, completely aware that Lori was labeling people, including her husband Charles at the time when he was alive, when they were doing this, as a zombie. Before we get started listening to Christina and Nicole, this was posted around the same time, approximately April 2020, when people were looking for the kids and Lori and Chad were like, what? We're not talking to anybody. Emma Daybell was in a conversation via text or instant messenger or something with someone, and it was posted online. Emma says to this person, the kid's situation is complicated, so I'm not supposed to say too much about it, but it really boils down to a super nasty custody dispute. Lori's protecting the kids from people that are actually monsters. Luckily, now that it is in court, we can address the lies head on. Anything we say or do outside of court gets twisted horribly, which is why we just stay quiet for now, but our side will be heard. She goes on to say, so it is complicated and I hate how twisted things have become and how nasty people are, but eventually things should work out. Sorry about how long that was. Thanks for letting me vent a little. Ha ha. So the other person replies, oh my gosh, this puts it in a whole other perspective. So the kids are alive despite all the rumors. I've been super involved in this case because you guys are basically my family and I've been doing my best to defend you guys. I'm just concerned about the recent deaths, the change to your mom's life insurance policy so soon before her death, and so much more. I've seen and heard so much, and I have so many questions. I also don't understand why she doesn't just say the kids are safe and present them to the police, then move them somewhere else. Emma replies, yeah, I'm not sure why they don't either. They've had 5 different attorneys all advise them not to, so I trust there's a reason. The kids are alive and safe. I really can't say more than that right now. It will come out in the courtroom. Just know the rumors are blown out of proportion. There are some horrible coincidences, such as my mom's life insurance and Lori's brother dying of an asthma attack during all of this. They really are just that, horrible coincidences. Charles Vallow was killed because he was attacking them, and Lori's brother shot in self-defense. Since we really haven't said anything to the media, it makes sense people jump to the worst conclusions perpetuated by the other side. But we will share our side in more detail when the time is right. Interesting, right? So Emma was being told that Alex died of an asthma attack and that the kids are alive. And these are just coincidences that her mother's life insurance was raised and Alex died of an asthma attack right around the same time. And five attorneys have told them, you know, we are advising you to be quiet. It's all just lies. I don't understand why she would be so gullible, but, well, she is. Okay, let's move on. Here is the interview when the police show up knocking on Christina's door asking questions.
Christina around?
Well, sure. What's up?
This is Detective. I'm Detective Bob with Channel PD. I'm just doing a follow up on a case. And
is it Wayne Dory? Come on in, sir.
Come on in.
Okay.
My office is a mess, and we're just kind of getting some cooking and stuff. But please come on and sit down. I'll just snip at
you. Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Let's turn in, girls.
Come on, Bob. You go outside.
No problem. So, how do you know Lori?
Church.
Church? Okay.
Yeah, I'm in church.
How long have you known her?
It's been how many years?
I'm okay, thank you.
My jug is over there somewhere.
So we've probably known Lori for
how many years has it been since?
Well, it's only
probably 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know Chad?
Not at all.
Okay.
I met him one time at my sister's work. He goes to church with my sister in Idaho. And I met him just casually. That's the only time.
Okay. So you have a sister that lives in Rexburg or that area?
In Salem.
Salem?
Yeah.
Well, in New Dale too.
Yeah, I've got sisters around, but
that was just, yeah.
Yeah.
So you actually met him up in Idaho?
Yeah.
Okay. When's obviously before all this stuff happened, when was the last time that you talked to Lori?
June.
What was that conversation like or about?
I had gone to visit her. I was kind of concerned about some of the stuff that she was talking about, saying, and so I just kind of had a visit there and said, yeah, I'm a little concerned about you.
Okay.
What's going on? And I reached out to her multiple times after that, and she really didn't respond to me much at all. So, like, I heard about her husband's death, and I left her a message and reached out to her multiple times, and then texted her a few times. She may have texted back once or twice. But if she did, it was very, very short.
Okay.
So she really hasn't spoke to me since June.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you said you were concerned about her behavior, was there, well, I guess what brought that on?
Well, actually it wasn't. So I had never met her brother Alex until a couple days before that. And I'd gone home to visit, I'd been invited over to visit her and some ladies, and he was there. And just the way that they were talking, I just felt it was not appropriate.
Okay.
So
she had gone over for a religious discussion.
And it
had gotten into the realms of rude.
Yeah,
and that's not equal, right? Rude and religious discussions, although maybe, you know, they're not the same. So it left a bad.
Okay. Gotcha. Did they ever get into any of the, I guess, are you at, you guys LDS?
You
are. Okay. Did she ever get into the kind of extraordinary outside of the LDS faith?
That's the pieces and parts that got weird, and that was the end of it.
Okay. Did you ever hear any discussion between her and Alex, or I guess who were the other ladies?
Because I've only ever met Alex the one time.
Okay.
So no.
So in that, I guess in the conversation that got rude, was there?
It was just weird.
Okay. Do you remember any of the context or anything that made it weird for you?
Well, Lori felt like her husband wasn't her husband, like he wasn't, like he was possessed or something.
Okay.
Did she say something to that night? Yeah. Okay, because I was going to say not don't.
Yeah, and so her brother was just kind of aggressive about it, like what I took considerable stress out was the fact that he was casually like, well, he just needs to die kind of thing. And I'm like, totally not appropriate. So after that happened, I went back a day or two later.
Was this at their house that she rented it here, or where did you guys meet at?
It was at her friend Zulema's.
Okay.
And so I was really upset by it. So I just called, I just texted her and said, Lori, I need to visit you because I think this is really inappropriate. And so I went and told her and I said, you can't be casual, stuff like that. You can't, it's not okay to talk about that in that context. Like I don't know your brother. She's like, oh, you just know me. I'm super dramatic. And so is he. And he didn't mean anything by it. And so I just said, well, like if something were to happen to your husband, I'd want to go talk to the police. If this is like, you can't talk about that. And like, that's not okay.
Okay.
And so I was totally, she said, no, not at all. We're just, being dramatic. And that was the end of it.
Okay. When you had that follow-up conversation with her, was that over the phone or was that in person?
No, it was at her brother's home in Queen Creek.
Okay.
Where she was staying at the time. So, like, I never, and before that time, like, I had never been to her house that was, I'd been to the big, big house off of Higley.
Okay.
But I hadn't been to the in-between house because she was really sporadic and
okay. How close were you guys prior to this?
Like I didn't know her well at all before she moved to Hawaii. When we went to Hawaii
I had known her. She was in the primary at our ward, and so was I.
Okay.
She was a music singer and stuff like that. And then she moved out to Hawaii.
And we had a really great visit in Hawaii. And
so we went to Hawaii for a vacation just of our own families. And while she was there, we went and left a surfboard that we had bought at Costco because it was cheaper than rent.
Okay.
We gave it to them.
We just had a really nice
visit. Had a half hour, half day visit, whatever it was. It was a few hours in the afternoon. And then we left and that was that.
Was Charles there then?
No, he was
traveling for work.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else that you could think of, I guess now hindsight being what it is, and all of these active investigations?
I didn't get a chance to visit Lori after her husband died.
Okay.
And then because my sister's in the ward with Chad Daybell, I'd been at Harvest and
over in Idaho.
I had no idea she'd moved to Idaho. No idea where she was.
Okay.
And had heard that Chad Daybell's wife had died. And so my sister called me and she's like, hey, Christina, my sister's name is Ruth. I just heard that Chad's wife died. You know, that guy I introduced you to at church. I said, oh yeah, that's my friend, Lori's friend. And so she told me about it. So I texted Lori and tried to call her and I didn't say, I just said, I heard something. I want to visit with you. If you have a chance, call me. But she never ever responded.
Never responded.
So I had no idea she was even living there.
Okay.
Or that she married him. Or
did you know her and Chad were friends prior to, or I guess by the time you were introduced?
She knew him, yeah.
Okay. How did you know that? Through the...
Because, yeah, just in visiting with her, she'd given me a couple of his books.
Okay.
And so, and then my sister had brought it up one time that there was this guy that wrote these books. I said, oh, my friend gave me his book. And so that's how
okay.
I made that connection. So then when I met him in the summer, it was just like, my friend lent me your book,
Gotcha.
And that was about it.
But there wasn't a lot more conversation about Chad and Lori and their relationship prior to this or anything else that. It was just a friend. Okay.
Yeah, just friends. There wasn't anything else that I knew.
Gotcha. Like I said, is there anything else, I guess, now looking back that that's really strange or...
I'm upset about all of it and I have...
She's lost sleep at night thinking you guys are going to come holler away. I said, Chris, when they come, just talk to them.
No, but Melanie Gibb is a friend of hers. she has reached out a couple times and wanted to visit, and I haven't even read the news articles. Like, it just kind of makes me sick, and I haven't even really wanted to. So when she asked if I wanted to get together and visit, I just said, I really don't. Like, I don't want to talk about anything, but you haven't talked to the police. And she said, I've told the police every single thing I can think of.
Yeah, she's, we've talked to her on several different occasions. So
I just said, I don't really want to get into it.
The niece or the...
No,
that's, yeah, there's two Melanies.
So, really none of those ladies that, like, we were getting together and just doing like scripture discussions and stuff. And we really haven't had anything to do.
Did you guys have any mutual friends besides, did you know Zulema prior to this?
No, not at all.
Okay. So that was your first time basically going to Zulema's that?
No, I've gone one other time to Zulema's. I met her last March. So Melanie, and then Melanie, her niece.
Okay.
And then my friend Nicole, who was also in the ward with me. So, like, we knew, the three of us knew from her from here. And the day that I was upset about the whole thing and just kind of was done with it was when I met her brother Alex. There was a neighbor, somebody that had been invited. Her name was Julia, I want to say.
Okay.
Or something. And so that's the only other. Oh, and Serena Sharp.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it.
So you know Serena and Nicole through church?
Yes. Well, okay. Serena was introduced to us by Lori.
Okay.
And Serena's still, like, I communicate with Serena, and Nicole's my best
friend. I mean, we're good
friends. So we're good friends with the Sharps and with the Earls.
Okay.
And they haven't had any contact either.
They haven't? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure they'd welcome
so or whatever. So you, Nicole, and Serena,
yeah,
and then Lori kind of were all, I guess, acquaintances, or you're friends with them, but
yeah,
Lori became friends through church, and that's kind of how. So that's part of the reason that I'm here, and I'm sure you might, if you haven't seen the news article, and now it's, I don't need to, I'll just hand this to you. This is a... that kind of their light and dark scale rating and everything else. And
light and dark
scale. Yeah, they have, and like the past lives that everybody's lived. And the
See,
reason
this
that
is completely inconsistent with any of our church's beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you know that. I mean, I
yeah. Well,
obviously
I'm
anything
very,
you're doing is very inconsistent.
Yeah. Very, very aware of it being the outside, but your name, Serena's name and Nicole's name, those are the other two that are blocked off, are all there that became part of this thing that they kind of have floating around. And that's how it came to be that we wanted to come out and talk to you.
Yeah.
Is just to see, I guess, you know.
Oh, I want to see, what did you say about Christina? Which one are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Linnea's daughter? Granddaughter, wow, awesome. It's nice to know you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know other things about my prophet Jacob. Well, I gotta be nicer to you.
So, the only thing that I would add is that when Nicole talked to Lori after her husband,
okay,
and she told Lori told Nicole that that the whole thing that went down with Charles was that Charles had he and several others were planning to kill her, and that the day that he died, he'd left his phone in their home, and on the phone was this plans to kill Lori, and so that it was the fight broke out because Charles wanted his phone back and she wanted to keep the phone that showed that he was trying to commit murder against Charles. And she told Nicole that Charles had cut her out of all the insurance and stuff. They were getting divorced and that she wasn't getting any money and she was left with all of the bills from his job, like their home business and everything. So she was in really, really bad shape financially is what she was told.
Okay.
So what was interesting at Christmas time is my sister Ruth, because Chad's in her ward. Her husband was in the bishopric and he was like a clerk or something. And so in visiting with him, he had said, oh, my wife got a lot of money from her husband's death, and we have a house in Hawaii now, which didn't make any sense with what I'd heard, which is that she was stuck with all this debt. And that, and she never had a house in Hawaii. She was renting, so it wasn't even like she had a house then. So it wasn't making sense with what was said.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Lots of money, obviously.
Tons, apparently.
A lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely a lot.
Absolutely. There has to be with all this crap.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of that would be important for me in these cases? And unfortunately, I'm out of business cards, but I'll give you my desk phone number. And because something might pop into your mind, you know, a week from now or a month from now, you go, oh man, I should, you know, tell Nathan this, and I'll give that to you just so you have my contact information.
I don't know how it could have transpired. Like, none of it makes sense to me. It just makes me sick.
Yeah.
It's all absolutely insane.
That's a good way to put it. It's a very good way to put it.
Officer, do they know where the kids are?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have lost track of hearing about it on the news one way or the other. We knew Ty Lee and
JJ. Yeah.
And they were such sweet kids, wonderful people. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure you've heard that before. I just haven't heard if they found them or not. So.
No, not yet. So.
Obviously, doesn't bode well.
No. No. All right, you guys. Well, I appreciate it. Okay.
A lot of little tidbits in there, for sure. Now, the next interview is with the friend Nicole. They show up here and ask her questions, too. It's best if you listen to this with headphones on because the body cam footage is picking up the audio and they're not standing exactly close to each other, so you hear the detective much better than you hear the interviewee. But there's some interesting tidbits here that you'll hear. One of the things I found really interesting is when he's asking about Charles, Nicole says, and you'll hear it, that there was a time when Lori put some drugs in Charles's smoothie. All right, so here we go.
Today is Wednesday, April 15th at 2020 at 15:07 hours. Detective Moffitt at I'm going to be speaking with Nicole Earl in regards to case number 19-83477.
Detective Moffitt with Chandler PD, how are you?
I'm good.
Just wanted to touch base with you about Lori Vallow.
Okay.
Is it all right if I come in or you want to talk out here or whatever is more comfortable for you? All right. So how'd you know Lori? Okay. Switch notepad to the pages. How'd you meet her?
I met her at church.
Church? How long have you known her?
My husband might be able to remember better.
I want to say like 2008.
Okay.
Josh, do you remember how long ago the bell was?
Something like that. Bell's name was the year we moved back.
Yeah. Okay. So
probably not that.
No, because they weren't here then.
Maybe like 10 years.
Okay.
Wait, 2011.
Are you
going to
keep
playing? Yeah, I'd say 2 years.
Okay.
How often? I remember the exact.
Yeah, that's fine.
Year.
And you met through church. Uh-huh. Which ward?
It was, I don't know, at the time, Lindsay First Ward, I want to say.
Okay. And then you guys just kept in touch?
Yeah.
How often?
She moved to Hawaii. Her family moved to Hawaii. Like that. Maybe a year or two after.
Okay.
I don't remember. I just know they were gone for about 3 years. And then Josh ran into her at another church and said, oh, they moved back.
Gotcha.
And because we were friends with them and their children. And
how often, I guess, prior to all the stuff that's happened, when was, what was that text?
Just said, I'm praying for your family.
You said that to her?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she respond at all?
Her sisters and her mom. And
okay, so you knew her pretty well over the course of the 10 or 11 years. Did she respond to you at all? When's the last time you saw her in person?
It was, I believe, very end of July or first part of August.
So after Charles had died?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw her a couple of times after Charles died. That was...
What did she have to say about that? And any about Charles passing?
She told me everything she believed that happened.
What did she tell you happened?
She said that Charles came in from out of town. I believe she said he was staying maybe at a hotel or something.
Okay.
I was coming to pick up JJ.
Okay.
To go to school. And I'm not very good at all the details, but she said that he came and there was confrontation and that Tylee came in with the, I don't know if it was a softball bat or a baseball bat, but some sort of bat. And then she said that she had Tylee take JJ out to the car.
Okay.
And buckle him in the seat. And then that's when Charles took the bat and tried to hit Alex.
Okay.
And then Alex fired in self-defense.
Did you know Alex? Mm-hmm. Okay. What was
not
your...
Well.
Not well. How many times did you met him?
I had a birthday, like JJ's birthday party, and that was the first time, and that would have been the summer before. Yeah.
So summer of 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever his birthday was, like, it was a pool party, so that's why I'm thinking it was summer.
Okay.
But I don't remember exactly when.
Besides that birthday party, like you said, you knew her sisters and her parents and stuff. Had you had many interactions with Alex?
Uh-huh.
Okay. When was the last time you saw Lori in person? I guess prior to Charles's death.
I believe it would have been possibly June.
Okay.
End of May. I know that she moved to Texas at some point in the springtime.
Okay.
Because they separated in January-ish. And then he went to Texas. I believe it was Houston. And then she she went there, maybe
okay.
There for a little while.
When she came back from Houston?
I believe so. Okay. Because I think I remember her saying, because he went to the special school, Lauren
Institute, yeah.
And she was having him in the summer program there.
Okay.
That's what I remember. Because whatever the school was in Houston, it wasn't really the best fit, I remember her saying.
Gotcha.
And he really seemed to do well at the Lauren Institute, and like the staff and the teachers, and I remember there was some sort of purse altercation. And I think it might have been during that time.
Okay.
He had taken her purse or something. But I don't remember much of the details.
What the details were? Okay.
Yeah. But I do think that might have been in the springtime.
So are you LDS? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys met through the church. Did you ever hear Lori, I guess, discuss things that were kind of like outside of the LDS faith and have conversations with her about that stuff?
Yeah, she did talk a little bit about those things.
And what do you know, what were the things that you heard, or I guess knowing now kind of where all of these criminal cases have gone, is there anything that stands out to you now as something like, oh, that's, you know, strange, or that conversation was weird, or anything else like that?
I don't know if I exactly know what you mean.
I guess, like, I just left Christina's house, and Christina had overheard conversations that she's like, that was just a really bizarre conversation that we had, and it made me feel uncomfortable, and it was kind of outside the norm of any normal conversation you'd kind of overhear. Yeah. Did you ever have those conversations with Lori?
She talked about her husband being possessed.
Okay.
And Heidi as well. And one of the things that didn't really ring true to me was that you can easily give up on people. You know, whether they're doing the right thing or not in their life, like that you can just kind of pick and choose. And it's like, we're all just kind of in this life together. It's my thoughts. And
okay.
We just need to keep on doing the right thing. And so I didn't really like that. And as she started talking about those things, I just tried to distance myself more.
Okay.
From those conversations.
I guess one of the reasons that you came to be here, I guess that we wanted to follow up and talk to you. I don't know if you've seen any of these emails and stuff, but this was kind of something that was found in an email between Chad and Lori. And it kind of goes through their previous lives and who everybody is. And obviously you were included on that. So it was just kind of you, Christina and Serena were all included on that. So we're kind of following up with all of you guys just to see where everybody fits into the puzzle. And
I recognize one of the names. I've not ever seen this document. I do know a lot of these people. I know Jason now. He was in that same ward, but I don't know if he was actually there when Lori. I don't believe he lived there when she was in the ward, actually.
Had you ever met Chad Daybell? No. Never met him. Had you ever heard or had any conversations with Lori about Chad?
She gave me his book series.
Okay.
I guess there was a hearing a people conference here.
Okay.
In Mesa, maybe, or Gilbert. I'm not quite sure.
Did you ever go to any of those?
I didn't go to any of them, so I don't know exactly what they're about. But when she came back from that conference, then she gave me a set of the books.
Gotcha.
I'm not a fiction reader. I actually despise it.
Okay.
So I read a little bit of the first one, and I was like, yeah, that's not for me. So.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I haven't read any of them.
Okay.
I don't really know what they talk about other than that very first book.
Besides her basically giving you the book and stuff, did you ever have any, did she ever talk to you about how when she, he, they became friends or the relationship that they...
She talked about, well, she met him at that Preparing People, from what I understand.
Okay.
And I don't know if she was presenting at that or if she just went to it. I have no idea.
Okay.
Because I do know she went to another one in Idaho, maybe.
Okay.
I think she did present there, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
And, like, I know Melanie Gibb does present to those because she wrote some sort of book or something, which I haven't read either.
Gotcha. Because you don't like the fiction stuff.
Not my kind of thing. So she met him, and then I didn't really hear her say anything about him until probably March or maybe April. And then she started to talk about him. But she didn't necessarily talk about him that they were having any sort of relationship.
Okay.
And then I think they were in communication with one another. He lives in Idaho, and she lived here, and she was in Texas at that time, too. So that's all I know. She didn't ever go into any detail about. You know, 'cause now, like, obviously, there's a lot in the media, but I was never given any information.
Gotcha. Okay.
About that there was anything romantic going on or anything of that nature. So I can't speak about that.
Gotcha. As far as, I guess, is there anything that with our investigations that you ever heard that you think I should know or like that we should discuss type thing? You know what I'm saying? I know. Well, let me ask you this. You are LDS. How often did you guys have conversations of the, I guess, her beliefs or the beliefs that she was kind of falling into that were far up? Over and above the LDS faith and the teachings in the LDS church?
Good question. So, I don't know, are you LDS?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Once she moved back from Hawaii, I ran into her. Josh had said she was here, but she wasn't living nearby.
Gotcha.
And then I ran into her at the temple, which is over on...
On Higley?
No,
or Greenfield.
Greenfield.
Yeah.
Greenfield and Pecos. And so we visited and then periodically would go and do work at the temple.
Okay.
And that's what we were doing. So we were discussing religious things, but it wasn't necessarily far left things that we're hearing about. She did, however, ask me to come, and she visited in March, I want to say. And she did visit about some of those things, and it just was not something that rang true to me.
Okay.
And at that point, that's when I distanced myself, and it was easier because she was in Texas after that.
Gotcha.
So, there'd be some texting back and forth, but, and then she moved back in June with JJ to go to school, and she wanted to get together. We got together, and once again, she discussed some of those things, and they just weren't ringing true with me. So at that point, I really just thought, I'm not interested in, like, I still like her as a person, but I'm not interested in getting involved in those kinds of things. And then in July, I was out of town, and Josh called me as I was driving home and said, I just heard through the grapevine that Charles died. He didn't have any information, so I didn't know what had happened. So I did reach out to her at that point and just sent her a message and said, I am thinking about you. I hope everything is well. Hopefully you and the kids are okay. And then a a couple of days later, she contacted me, and I could look back and tell you the exact dates on the text messages if you need them.
If you think there's anything in the context that I need to know or I should know as far as these investigations go.
Before that happened.
Okay.
And then she said that she wanted to get together and visit. And I was a little bit concerned about it because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't impeding any sort of police investigation or getting information that I shouldn't be privileged to hear or have. And so that was a couple of days after. And so we met and I just let her talk the whole time. And I didn't really ask a lot of questions because I was just in shock, really. It just was so surprising that things could escalate to that degree. And so that made me sad because we've known Charles for 10 years. I know his sons. I know Tylee and JJ. And
knowing Charles as well as you did you ever see any side of Charles that would have been, you know, the yelling and screaming and the allegations that she basically, or the behaviors that she says Charles, you know, or how he acted at the time of the...
I didn't ever see any of that because most of the times I was seeing him, we were in social settings.
Okay.
We were at, you know, a get together at their house or like at church. And so I didn't ever see anything of that. Like, she shared things with me, but obviously those are her words. So
previous to this, that she confided in you that Charles was, you know, verbally abusive or physically abusive or anything like that in the past?
She didn't say anything about physically, but she mentioned he was a little hot-tempered at times.
Okay.
And you know, he was an intense person. I think that's why he was such a good businessman, because he could just get in there and get things done and all. But yeah, I can't really speak to that because I never saw.
Okay. Did you ever hear her or Alex or anybody talk about like what they, if somebody were possessed, how they deal with the possession or anything like that back when this was going on? I know you might have seen a lot of media stuff since then, but at firsthand, did you ever hear her or Alex talk about, you know, what to do when somebody is possessed?
Lori, I didn't ever hear Alex talk about anything like that. Like, I saw him social settings once again, like little family get
together. Yeah.
And then two other times. One time was Serena. She had moved here from Connecticut in August-ish.
Okay.
End of July, first of August.
Of this past year, shortly after Charles died?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was moving to Queen Creek, and so Lori sent out a text and said, let's all get together at Costa Vida and have lunch. And when I arrived, Alex was there, which I thought was rather strange because it was just a bunch of ladies that were together for lunch. So he was there, but he didn't like really converse or talk much during the course of the lunch.
Okay.
And if he was talking, it was like, you know, kind of groups of people chatting at the table. So
gotcha.
I didn't really hear anything he was saying necessarily.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need to ask you. Oh, what's a good phone number to get a hold of you? That's an easy number to remember.
It's the best number for like my little kindergartner and my kids.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Anything else that you could think of that's important, I guess, now knowing that that we have all these criminal investigations going that you overheard then that, like I said, you might have written it off, but you go, oh, man, now that all this is happening, that's weird or bizarre. Or...
In June, when we saw her after she'd been gone a couple of months, when I say we, Christine and I got together with her, she had said that And Christine would be able to recall, I don't even take ibuprofen, so I have no understanding of medicine or anything of that nature.
Okay.
But there was some sort of, I think it was a medicine of some sort, and I don't know if it was something Charles took or if it was something that maybe was another medication that JJ took.
Okay.
I know JJ took quite a bit of medicine
for
his different issues, but she had said that she had been putting whatever this was into, I think, a smoothie or some sort of drink for Charles when she was in Texas.
Okay.
In his last months. But I don't recall any name or anything because I just, my brain doesn't really know any of that information. I'm just not a medicine person.
Anything else you could think of?
I've read stuff and it's just like all this is very, very surreal. Like to know somebody for a long time and then just to have everything in a matter of a few months turn upside down, and like to know the kids. And
had she ever, I guess, in the text messages that you guys had, like after she moved, did you know she was moving to Idaho? Did she tell you that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I guess it was in end of July or first part of August. I believe we were texting, and the people that they'd rented the house from where the incident had happened.
Uh-huh.
I believe they were friends
of
Lori and Charles, and they were really unhappy with it, obviously. And I don't know if it leaves some sort of record on the house for like sales later on or something, but she said that they were wanting her to leave. And I said, well, just let us know. Like, I have teenage boys. I said, we can come and we can help you pack up your things and get you settled someplace else if you need that kind of help. And she's like, okay, I'll let you know. And she didn't ever say anything. So I was really surprised when all of a sudden I saw the media in December and realized not long after all that she had left and had moved to Idaho. And I wasn't aware that she was in Idaho.
Gotcha. So any text conversations you had with her, if there were any around that time, she never said she was moving to Idaho or what she was doing. Okay.
No, the last I heard is she just said that the people that owned the home told her she would need to move out, and her niece, Melanie, had possibly said she could live there for the time, like trying to figure out.
Gotcha.
Because I think from what she had said in July, after she was concerned about the money and like all the business debt and everything, but she talked about all the car loans and just not knowing how all this was going to work out. And
okay.
Because she had said that Charles had changed all the, and his sister, I believe it would have been in March, had changed all the life insurance policies and all those things over to his sister at that point in time, which was understandable in my mind because he was pretty angry with Lori and her and whatever else.
Yeah.
And so, and his sister had come and helped him move to Texas. So I knew that she was involved in trying to help Charles with JJ and getting things settled. And
gotcha.
So that was something that she was saying. So I didn't know where she would end up.
Okay.
That's why we were willing to go and like help her go with a moving truck or get into an apartment wherever she needed to land, knowing that I'm sure that that house was not inexpensive to rent.
Yeah. And so obviously,
they'd always lived in pretty fancy, nice homes and areas in the past. So.
You don't have any idea where the kids are. They aren't with you or any one of their friends or mutual friends or okay.
Yeah.
And she hasn't, there hasn't been any responses, I guess, since the media has gotten a hold of this that would shed any light on this case or these cases one way or another.
Like a text message?
Yeah, like text messages or anything.
I don't think I received anything from her. I could go get my phone and look, but I don't believe when I texted her in December when I saw everything going on, I don't think she responded at that point.
Okay.
My mom was positive.
I ran out of business cards, but I'm going to write my email address and my desk phone number down for you. If something comes up, if you happen to, something comes to mind of, oh, you know, I really should tell, you know, Nathan or Detective Moffitt that, just give me a call or shoot me an email. They have us working from home 3 days a week. So this is my one day off office work until this quarantine is done. I'm guessing that will be done by, it might go into mid-May. My wife's a ER trauma nurse, charge nurse, and they're seeing a decline, but they're still seeing steady cases. So I think it all depends on what the governor wants to do or decides to do.
Are they really high-risk cases, or is it just people having symptoms that's more like mild flu?
My personal opinion in talking to her and in the way it's working, the scary part is there are people mid-30s that have no medical condition, non-smokers, that are reacting bad to this and crashing. And it's not many, but it's those rare cases that you go, really, is anybody safe, depending on how personally your body's going to react to it. A lot of people are coming in and going, you know, they have bronchitis-like symptoms and that kind of stuff, and they're COVID positive, and they're like, well, I just don't feel good. I'm not getting better. Well, go home and, you know, quit infecting people and just stay home for until you're better type thing. So it's really just kind of a bizarre mix of it's those one-offs, and you never know if there is something underlying. They could have had, I work in homicide. I've done death investigations where 22-year-old kids found at the park and just had an aortic dissection or something that was underlying medical condition. So you don't know whether or not those people might have had an undiagnosed or untreated because they didn't see a physician, but it's those one-off cases that are kind of scary. You know, obviously at the at-risk groups and stuff like that, they're at risk. You're more susceptible to get something like that. So I get that. But they are going down. I mean, they have a tent set outside of CRH because that's where she works at. And for any COVID type complaints, if it's not emergent and doesn't need to happen right away, then they're being treated out there. And if they don't need to be admitted, they just go home from there and quarantine. So I'm guessing, I think because of the bad economy and stuff like that, they might rush to open it back on May 1, as we were set to do, but hopefully the governor's paying attention, and if we need to stay closed, stay down for two more weeks, we do, just because I think it really is, you know, if you're sitting here or going to the grocery store and you wash your hands and you know, don't touch your face while you're in there and use hand sanitizer, you're not likely to get it. So if we get on the downhill curve of this, hopefully it slows it and we get all done with this.
Like you're trying to wade through what the media is saying. Like I'm sister of Michigan, and it's a mess.
Michigan's really bad.
Louisiana, and it's just like both of those are terrible states to be in right now.
Yeah, and New York obviously is really, really bad.
Yeah, I'm from Louisiana. Just moved from Manhattan a couple of years ago. I'm like, you would have been bad off no matter where you were.
Right.
So. Well, thanks to your wife and you for being on the front line.
Oh, all this thank you.
Hard stuff. Like, I can't even imagine homicide. That would be grateful for people that are willing to do that.
There's my email address. I need to take that back only because stuff's been getting to the media and it's just making matters worse for all of us. So not that you would, but I just, any questions for me?
Very careful sharing. People knew that I was friends with her and they had come to ask me. I just try not to share details because I don't want to create any extra sensationalism or
confusion. Yeah.
And so.
Any questions I can answer for you?
I have one question. Probably most of them you can't talk about, so yeah.
Okay.
It's just really I think the most, like, it was shocking in July, but what transpired by Christmas time, just totally, I didn't see it until Christmas Eve. Like, hey, picture on the news, what's going on?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is.
I am afraid that they probably aren't alive. I always hope that they're being taken care of someplace. And just, I just hope for closure for her parents and her siblings and JG's grandparents and family members.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And
it's
for Charles' sons, like.
Yeah, Zach and Cole.
I think they're kind of the quiet victims of all of this, where it's just terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're directly affected by it, but, and Colby too. Like, just really hard to think about all the different people that have been affected by choices. And so, I haven't checked for a few weeks. Has it gone to trial?
Her case for the child abandonment is pending preliminary hearing. So the
shut down.
Yeah, I think they're aiming for a preliminary hearing on first week of May. So the only good news about the whole COVID thing is it's kind of quieted the media sensation around this. So
happy about that. That'd be on the front page every single night.
Yeah. Yeah, all of this and the way it's transpired is essentially a made-for-TV movie. And it's kind of beyond...
It's beyond comprehension.
It is. It is. It's.
I've known her for so long, and that's why I just say, like, even me, I just, my whole head just spins with all of it. I just can't really believe that any of this has happened, actually. So, I don't know. I do know she told me that she had gone... after the person sent that they had her go to some place and do like some sort of psychological evaluation.
Yeah.
And she told me, I passed, everything's good. So I reflect on that often, trying to like understand how this could transpire in the way it did and not have some sort of underlying mental illness or something happening. So that's something that's been lingering in my head over the last little while. Just
to intervene, I don't know exactly. I know that she did do that back in whenever it was. I don't remember. I think it was February or so. But just so you understand how it works, is their job in a situation like that is to make sure that you're not an immediate danger to yourself or to somebody else. It's not necessarily a psych eval of your sound mind. It's a psych eval to make sure that you are not a danger to society right now. So it's almost an emergency room for psychiatric help. It's not a, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. Let's explore these views. And there's only for dealing with this in police work, not this case. There are two types. You have the danger to self or others. And then you have people that are persistently and acutely disabled, which they could be and I'm not saying Lori is, I'm just saying, for example, the bipolar person that is off their medication, but they haven't hurt anybody. You know, they're not currently suicidal or something like that, but that's a much different process than, you know, are you going to hurt yourself or somebody, you know, this week? So
It wasn't that there was a, and I don't know whether there is or not. I'm not weighing in on that, but it's just so you understand the difference of the two. There's two very separate roads that they go down for those type of things.
That was very helpful because I just kept thinking that was all within the same year. I just kept believing
yeah.
shift and change. But I just kept has to be something mentally happening that shifts in some of mine to be able to orchestrate all sorts of.
Well, if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me, okay?
Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. There is also an opportunity now to join and just subscribe to the show. You can pay a monthly fee. The link is in the show notes below, and you can help support my show. I really appreciate it. Again, one woman show, and I am doing it all, and I really could use the support to keep the show going. Another way, if you cannot donate to the show, leave a review. Leave me a 5-star review. Share this podcast. Give it a good review, and that is as helpful as anything. So it can get out there. I appreciate you all. Stay safe, stay well, and I'll be back soon.